I don't know who's more nervous, you or me. Because I certainly am. I meant what I said a while ago. I said, maybe this has been a good thing. I've been having more people. There's been more praying this afternoon than probably a long time. So my biggest problem is myself. You know, I want to read just a few scriptures, and it does have something to do with the message, but just through my Bible, and I'm sure as well with yours, there's unique scriptures that just kind of speak to you, just thoughts. Sometimes they're just even parts of a verse. That David said in 1 Samuel 23, "There is but a step between me and death." It's a thought, isn't it? Lucas mentioned to the boys in Sunday school, he said that he'd heard me quote this psalm a lot. Psalms 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Ecclesiastes 8:8. "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow. I attended a funeral in Dexter, Missouri, of a boss for over 20 years. His name was Bill Rhodes. Bill was on a golf course in Dexter late July. He had some breathing issues and thought he maybe just had a touch of pneumonia or something. And you know how the story goes from there, don't you? They found out he had cancer and his life quickly came to an end. But it was another constant reminder how brief life is, how quick it goes by. So I don't know, I wrestled. Dad called me last night, and man, I tell you what, I've been tore up for the last 24 hours. It's easy to preach to kids, but up here, you big kids are something else. I tell you what, though, if you want God, you can have him. If you want him,
amen,
you can have him. And it's good to feel God's presence. And it's terrible when you don't feel God's presence. It's really, really. I want us to think on thought night, and my message tonight is going to be directed. I want to direct it mostly to the men in the room tonight. And I think it's good for all of us, but I want to ask you men, because I think of you men as being the leaders of our homes. I want you to think about this church and its direction. I want you to think about the direction of your own personal life and your family life, because these are things I'm asking myself. I want to ask you, the thought is, how far can you see? How far can you see? I want you to turn with me over to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to turn then over to 2 Peter. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Here we see a picture to me. It's Moses, and he's speaking it to Israel. But I see a picture of the United States of America here. In verse 16 of chapter 32, the scripture says, "They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. And of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children whom is no faith." And verse 28, "For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How far can I see? You know, if you're here tonight and you do any investing in your business or in your personal finances, you're very much interested in anybody that can predict the future. You're very much interested in that person that says, this is what you can expect. This is what we think is going to happen. This is where we think the market's going to go. This is where we think the trend's going to go. This is what you need to know for your business. We're very much interested in that part of the future. It's so amazing to me, though, that we're so interested in the temporal and not the eternal. So let's look over to 2 Peter then. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And looking towards the future, I would say to you, person here tonight, young person, older person, child or man or woman, you need to make sure of your election. And then you make sure that you're part of God's family. Whereby, in verse 4, chapter 1, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by the remembrance, by putting you in remembrance, knowing that I shortly must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. It is not going to be long that all of us are going to put off this tabernacle. I think in the last month, I know that I have attended 4 separate funerals. Always a constant reminder that, and with every one of those persons, and the one that I think maybe was buried yesterday or today, but Mr. Teal, somewhere their life was in contact with my life, either through work, the shoe factory, or life in general. And it reminds me that life is short and that life is precious. But I'm wondering tonight, how far can you see? How far do you see? Are you sure that you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, it's an important thing to see. In fact, there's some things that must evidently hinder us from seeing, because Jesus said to us in Mark chapter 9, he said that if you have trouble seeing this, Jesus prescribed some drastic measures. In fact, he said, if you can't see this, you'd be better. If your eye is keeping you from seeing this, it might be good for you to go blind so that you can see. It might be good for you to pluck out your eyes. If that's what's keeping you from seeing the truth, pluck them out. If your hands are keeping you from doing, if you're just too busy, if you're just too busy for God, if you're just too busy for church, if you're just too busy for the things of God, then you're just too busy. You know, you've always heard it said, these guys that go fishing, you got time to go fishing? No, I ain't got time. Well, you're just too busy. As if that was of great importance. But if you're too busy, going, if your feet's too busy taking you somewhere, he says you better cut one off. It'd be better to do that than to enter into hell with both your eyes, both your hands, and both your feet. Do you see what's going on in our country? Do you see it? Do you see what's happening in our church? Do you see what's happening in our own individual lives? Do you see it? Do you see the fact that that maybe we just don't sense God's presence once like we did? Do you see the fact that you say, boy, you know, it's just not maybe quite the same as when old brother Collier was here or old brother so-and-so? Or do you see that? Does that bother you? I'm just saying, what's changed? How far can you see? You know, the devil's after us. And if the good man had been watching, if he had really seen it, if the good man, if he'd been watching, he wouldn't let the thief come in. Now, I don't know about you, but the thief, he's after every family in this room. He could come in, and you know what's amazing? I've seen people sit in this church and sit right here in the front pew and say, amen, preacher, amen. But they're no longer here. And so the thief, he comes in. And it's more than just agreeing. It takes some action. It takes a call to armor. It takes having the presence of God. We need God's presence. So God says that we've said it not all his counsel. In the book of Proverbs, if you want to turn there, chapter 1. There's a prescription there how we can what I desperately need in my life is God's power. How can I have God's power? Well, one thing I have to do, I'm going to have to pay attention to God's word. God takes high priority. He says in verse 23, turn you at my reproof, behold, and I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Now let me tell you something. The things of God don't interest people that are not saved. That may be a key why there's a lot of not interest in church. That may be a key why it's hard to get interested in the things of God. The Spirit. But we have God's, when God says, listen, if you make much of my word, and you, he says, there's safety in that, because if you go on and read down through these passages of Scripture, he tells us here, because I have called, you refused. I stretched out my hand, no man regarded. I called, and you have said not all my counsel, with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And notice that is personal there. I often say to people, everybody's going to have fear. You're going to have, your fear is coming. The best thing is if you can have fear on this side of eternity. Listen to me. If you have fear on this side of eternity, then you'll do something about it. But if you don't have no fear of God, you will have fear. But you may wait too late. Because when your fear cometh as desolation, destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then you'll call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And they would none of my reproof. They despised all my counsel. They would none of my counsel, despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Boy, that's a blessing right there. Hey, have you ever seen a time when there's more troubles in families? And have you ever seen a time when there's more unrest? Man, I told somebody this, but I was in Lowe's at Arnold 2 Saturdays ago. And I walked in the door. And as soon as I walked in, you know, on Lowe's, you walk in on the kind of left-hand side. And the entry on that store was anyway. I walked in. And there was this. Right in the aisle was this, looked like it'd be about a 14-year-old boy, and looked like his sister, and she looked like to me she was probably 15, and it was their mother. And this boy was, he was just having a fit. I first thought he was having a medical issue, but it wasn't. I could see that it was just outright rebellion. He was telling, no, Mom, no, I ain't gonna do it, Mom, no. And it was making a big scene. I mean, I was embarrassed for her. I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen anything, a kid that size. And he was laid on the floor, just walling around on the floor. And his mom was trying to get up. You know, she could tell she didn't have no control of him. And finally, his sister, who was a pretty big gal, she went around and got a hold of him, got up under his arms. And they started toward she said, Mom, this says no exit, only in case of emergency. And his mother said, well, this is an emergency. And she's dragging him out. But I thought, my goodness, can you imagine the despair in that family? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And they're going to eat the fruit, and the heartaches for that family is only just beginning. And it's multiplied over and over and over, you know. And I can tell you that God has a prescription here. If we'll pay attention to it, God has a prescription. But it's amazing how dumb we really are, isn't it? Isn't it? And I don't know. It's just amazing. We can hear it and we've heard it, but we just seem to... God says, well, you won't listen to me. And so, you know what? We refuse God's counsel. We're going to eat the fruit of our own way. And you know what? We need to have God's power in our life. And he'll make known his words unto us. We don't know it all. We don't know it all. There's a lot of things that God hasn't revealed that can reveal, keep revealing to us if we'll yield ourselves to him. I ask myself, young and men in here in the room, I ask myself this question. Do I see myself this coming year drawing closer to God? Have you thought much about that? If you're a member of Victory Baptist Temple and you're a man in this room, have you thought about that? Do you see yourself drawing closer to God? Have you any intentions? And if you do that, if you do see yourself doing that, what kind of actions are you doing differently than you did last year to try to get closer to God? Do I see my family saved and serving God? You know, I can't imagine. I think it was Brother Matt Green when he was here, and he gave that illustration about the lady seeing these people going over. You remember that story he told about the people that he could see them, and she could see them as they one by one walked and just dropped over in a great fall, going off into hell. And some were hanging on, trying to hang on to the sides. It was just an amazing, and it made me thought, everywhere we go, there's people. As we sit here today and we sit in a service right now, there's people that are literally stepping off into hell. I often think of Ken Hovind, the Christian scientist that was here. Kent, yeah. You know, and he said that the scientists say that the outer layer of the earth's crust can be as thin as 40 miles deep. He made that statement. So literally within the distance of it is from here to Poplar Bluff, somewhere below us, we could be that close to literally to physically to hell. The scripture is pretty plain about hell being beneath us, and I believe hell is being in the center of this earth. And I thought, my goodness, I can't imagine seeing any of my grandkids. I can't imagine. I just can't even imagine it. I can't imagine seeing any of my grandkids grow up without a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will have count myself a failure if I can't see my kids saved and my children, grandchildren saved. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So what are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? Am I encouraging my children? Am I encouraging Sarah, Carrie, and Rachel and their families? Am I encouraging them with all I can? With all my prayer, with all my effort, am I encouraging them to be faithful to their church, to this church, to stay in the Word of God? Am I doing everything? Am I holding the line? It's important. How far can you see? How far can I see? Do I see myself and my family as being a godly family and having a testimony in this community? They say, well, I tell you one thing. You can say what you want to about it, but I tell you one thing. I believe they're godly people. I believe they're honest people. I believe, and they point people to Christ. That would be our goal. That's my goal. And we have a far cry from being there, but that's my goal. Do I see this church growing and reaching others for Christ? Do I see that? Do you see that? Men in this church, do you see that happening? Are you making any plans, any preparation? Have you put any thought towards that? Have we put any effort towards that? Have we put any money towards that? Have we went back there and said, look at that track rack back there. Everybody just turn and look at it right now. Look at it back there. Do you see anything back there that needs to be improved on it? Huh? Look here. Here's the reason why it's not in better shape. Because you know why? Because I don't care enough. Isn't that the truth? It is the truth. And outside these doors, and I was thinking right now, as I was sitting over there, and I was thinking about this older couple that live out here at Vulcan. And I thought, here it is Sunday night, and I know they're not at church. I know they're not at church. And they're sitting up there out from Riverside, lost as they can be. And here we quietly sing our hymns and go through all of our preaching. We'll go through all. And if you get outside this building, it gets a little fainter, a little fainter, a little fainter. They never hear it. How are they going to hear it? I'm going to have to go, ain't I? And guess what? You know some people too. You know some people too, don't you? We know some people. How far can we see? How far do I see? Do I see my influence, my time? And time is money. And money growing or shrinking for the cause of Christ? Going forward, we're not going to always be able to depend on Brother Parker right here. I mean, we hope you're here till you're 100 years old, but you know what? We need to be thinking. We need to be thinking. Amen. Huh? Amen. Hey, it's time for us, some of the rest of us, to kind of help get in the harness. Hey, is that real? Is that true? It is, isn't it? Hey, man, is it true? Huh? You know why it's so needed? It's because there's lots of people. And you look around this room, and there's a lot of people that wouldn't be here if somebody in here hadn't went and found them. Are they worth it? You better believe they're worth it. You know what? How far do I see? Do I see somewhere out in the future? Do I see that day? In heaven. Can you imagine just being there, getting there? We don't think much about it, man. Can you imagine being there? How wonderful it'll be. Can you imagine, Dad? It'd be like Christmas when we all get together and sing. Yeah. It will be. Amen. And it's like they're all here. They all made it. They're all in heaven. All our family's here. No more battling the old devil. No more discouragement. Amen. Hey, won't that be wonderful there? The devil don't want us to think about that, does he? Huh? Amen. Do you even think about going to heaven? Huh? Do you know, I'm 54 years old. Kwanda? I'm going to tell on Kwanda. Dad used to go and preach at Cool Springs. And I used to carry Kwanda around in my arms. She was this little girl. Kwanda, it don't seem that long ago. What is it telling us? Huh? Chuck, can you believe we've been living on CC Highway I've been over there over 30-some years. And I had some... Aggie, she's making fun of me today. I was studying and I couldn't find my glasses. I got these dollar pair of Walmart glasses. They look like Superman glasses. They're black. Can you put them? And she says, when I put those black glasses on, she said, man, you're getting white up here. Hey, you know what I think? I think sometimes we're a bunch of fakers. I don't think we really say, we could say we believe it and amen, preacher, and we can sing you to God be the glory, great things. And we could do all that, and that's a bunch of baloney if we won't tell people.
You're right.
Huh?
You're right. Amen.
I'm telling you, there's a great day coming, and that's a terrible day coming. I mean, if we could see it right now, man, no wonder. Can you imagine the relationship that somebody had to have with God to be inspired to help write this thing?
Yeah.
And compare my relationship to Him and your relationship? Can you imagine? And we're too busy, though, aren't we? We got important things to do. I'm too busy. Boy, I'm under... I'm only glad that I got to be a little bit apart. Boy, I'm not sad that... And that old 65 Mercury going up 67. That's when the days before they had them black strips between it.
Yeah.
And the cars didn't have it wasn't luxury then. We didn't have air conditioning. I mean, that was, man, cars come so far now, even the cheapest ones got all the, we got, what is all this stuff back in, you know. Shut up. Sit down back there. Yeah, she wasn't always this sweet. And
praise the Lord.
Yeah, she wasn't always like that. What? It's payback time. Yeah. That bush. I finally killed that bush inside the house. She stripped enough of it. Do you see heaven ahead? Can you see hell ahead? Can you see hell ahead for many people? Can you see? Do I see the torments of hell? The despair of hell? No hope? No second chances? These three here, Debbie brought these three here tonight. They wouldn't be here tonight if she didn't care and hadn't went out and made effort and sacrifice. And we're tickled to death you here. She was in the Christmas program, Junior Church. You know, God's got something special for you. Man, this is the place. This is where it's at. This is where it's happening. This is where it's at. If you can see it, can you see it? You have to see afar off. You can't look on the shore, and you got to see afar off. Oh, there's a day coming. It's going to all change around big time. In my drawer at my office, I got a picture. I think I've told you this before, and I'll tell you it again. I got a picture of Brother Rice's grave, Brother Clifford Rice. I showed Patty Friday, I think it was. I said, look at this. Clifford G. Rice, he died 1999. Can you believe that? 15 years already. He's probably still. That's the way he was buried. That's the way he was, in the casket. Man, when they sang at his funeral, swing wide the gates, I'm coming home. Man, the hair on the back of my hair stood up. I thought we was all going up. I mean, it was that real. Because I could thought of all those times that, man, he preached. And he, come here. Come here. Yeah, come here. Follow me. You know, all the messages, I thought of all that stuff. I thought of the time we walked up on the hill there at the house because he got in too early when it's preaching time. And he said, where's your dad's old shotgun? And he goes up there in his blue, white, light blue suit with his white socks shining and his black panties. And we're walking up on the hill, and he's going to shoot that squirrel. Well, he couldn't take it. He had to go up there and shoot that thing. He did. In his suit, his vest was always too tight. You know, he's Clifford. He went up there, boom. That's all. Years of gun back. He went on back. Here I go back to the house with a dead fox squirrel. What am I going to do with it? Right before church time. There's a sign. Do you see the sign? How far can you see? There's a sign that says, I drew a picture of it. Mom, I drew a picture. You'll be proud of me. Little sign. It says, just ahead, God. Oh. Well, you don't have to turn back over to Deuteronomy then. In chapter 32, verse 39. We need to pay attention to this. You got to see this. Who is this? Who is this God? Who is this you're about to face, or am I? And guess what? It could be tonight for one of us, or some of us, or all of us. See now? That means right now. You see it? See now that I, even I, am He. And there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Sounds pretty powerful to me. Hey, I'm telling you something. It's humble. If you're having a hard time, I don't care who you are. We ought to be humble. We're going to face God. He's here. Can I see myself before an almighty God? I can't imagine. I'm not going to walk up there. What am I going to say?
Amen, brother.
What are you going to say? Oh, Lord, you know, I was so busy. I couldn't be very faithful, and I couldn't give like I should have. You know, I had all this going, and I didn't have time to go visitation, and I didn't have time to teach son's class, and I couldn't drive that bus. You know, I couldn't do that. I can't sing. I can't sing the choir, Lord. You know all about me. What are you going to say to him?
Go ahead, brother. Amen.
I tell you what. Oh, my goodness. You better make sure. I want to check my salvation over and over and over. Because I know one thing. Listen, there is no excuse for Jeff Barker. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all the messages and all things? Can you imagine everything that I've heard? Am I without excuse? And I tell you what, and there's people right now that you can sit. I know if you're probably people's went across your mind while I'm sitting here thinking, boy, I need to get to them. I need to tell them, man, there's people in this room that we need to be praying for, encouraging, and doing everything we can. Everything we can, say, I tell you what, if they're going to go to hell, they'll have to go over me crying for it and telling you and getting mad at me. I don't care what they do, but I've got to tell them. Man, I've had too many. I don't care. I want to do more. I've got to do more. You know what? How far can you see? Can you see it? Can you see how that eternity is coming in a fast pace now? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.